Amidst ongoing budget uncertainty, the service has told its program offices that they should plan to execute their dollars at the same level they were funded during fiscal 2013, after sequestration kicked in. Lieutenant General Charles Davis is the Air Force's military deputy to the Assistant Secretary for Acquisition. He says officials don't yet know the impact of the budget deal, but for now they're only expecting it to reduce the Air Force's sequestration bill by a few billion dollars. And any relief that comes will be directed to restoring some of the military readiness that was degraded during the first year of the cuts, as the military was forced to halt training exercises and reduce flying hours.
As we have to make further trades across whatever budget numbers were given, it really comes from our investment program. So, and even within those investment programs, you'll see in just a little bit that a large chunk of that money is already decided and more or less blocked off from being able to use for all the other activities that comes along. And believe it or not, there's a lot of folks out there that believe they know how the Air Force should spend their budget a lot better than the Air Force does. And that creates a unique challenge.
Davis speaking at the AFSEA Northern Virginia chapter's annual Air Force IT Day. He says that means acquisition in the Air Force is now a zero-sum game.
Nobody brings a new idea or a new program to the table without it coming from an existing program. Nobody gets to go to Congress and say, I really wish you'd tell the Air Force they have to keep this because it's important to us, without something being taken off the table. It just doesn't happen anymore. So everything that stays, something goes. Everything we bring back in or everything we add, something's taken off the table. And that's really how we're building our budgets right now. And so for that reason, any redundant or excess capabilities are just not something we can afford right now by any stretch of the imagination.
At the same time, the Air Force says it can't afford to take a holiday on new procurement right now. After more than a decade of high-tempo operations, the service says it desperately needs to recapitalize an aging fleet and tackle other high-priority areas like science and technology. Davis says that means the Air Force's only choice is to reduce the cost drivers in its procurement programs.
So we've asked all our program managers to tell us what that flat line means and tell us how you execute to that. That means we have to curb our requirements. We have to manage what we want for technology. We have to be very judicious about the capabilities we ask for. We need to make sure industry comes back to us and tells us what the cost of these requirements truly are going to be based on how they work that program, and if we can make some change to that requirement, because there's a very steep knee in the curve somewhere, we need to hear that from you. You need to tell us no more often. We need to listen to that, and that's something we don't do very good at.
Davis says there are a vast number of ways in which the Air Force can get lower prices for products and services without cutting into industry profits or reducing the amount of capability it ultimately gets. For starters, he says the Air Force needs to pay more attention to designing procurements that reduce the cost of the RFP process on both the government and the industry side.
One thing we're seeing as we go through it, no matter what the program is, whether it's a services program, whether it's an aircraft program, the proposal process to get us to the point where we actually obligate money is too long, it's too expensive, it's too cumbersome, it's too painful. We, across the Air Force, traditionally in our budgets, lose somewhere around $600 million a year because of unobligated, unexecuted funds from prior years. In other words, the money expires. And unfortunately, that's for a lot of reasons. The program maybe gets slipped, maybe get canceled. It may be delayed for a variety of other reasons. It may just have a schedule that's being stretched out. This year, we didn't do quite that bad. I think it's around $200 million that we actually lost due to poor execution. But a lot of that money gets lost because we take it way too long to get it on contract. That hurts the industry. That hurts the military capability aspects of everything we're trying to deliver, and it's something we just have to pay attention to. The quality of those proposals that we get from industry traditionally has been lacking. I know part of it is because we continually seem to demand more details in those proposals, but in a lot of ways, the quality that comes in just shows that we've not put the work in to get the data in there that we really need.
Likewise, Davis says the Air Force needs a sharper focus on one of the tenets of DOD's Better Buying Power initiative, reducing processes that don't add value but do add cost, particularly in the area of acquisition oversight.
The oversight process within the Department of Defense, whether it's within the Air Force or within OSD, is just way too burdensome to actually have much velocity on programs. Certainly as we're trying to get them started, certainly as we're trying to get the contract place and then trying to move the thing forward. And again, because oversight is now still very much in vogue as a way to improve programs, in my view, it's actually counter to that. The increasing amount of oversight has actually detracted from program performance immensely, although I promise you that is not a unanimously held decision within our department, has put us in a very challenging situations on that. But I don't think relying on policy and process fix our cost and schedule programs by any stretch of the imagination. I challenge you to go take a look at any program within the Department of Defense and work your way back through the root causes and not realize that the challenges of any program we've had started the day we put it on contract because of either some structure within the contract, some requirements that was going to be challenged to maintain, some technology that was going to be too hard to deliver, or something. And then the best execution in the world, which generally does not happen, but even the best execution in the world was not going to overcome some of the flaws put into the program the day the contract was signed.
Davis says the Air Force is going to get much more specific in its contracts and make a serious push to ask for more mature, more affordable technologies. But he says defense contractors have some work to do as well in order to help the Air Force reduce procurement costs. He says too many vendors don't have a solid understanding of the cost structures of the lower tier subcontractors they rely on, and as a result, submit proposals that aren't realistic. Also, as the defense industry restructures to make itself leaner and more efficient, Davis says the Air Force would like to benefit from those efficiencies.
There's a story that comes out every day about how some company is consolidated, downsized, reduced its overhead staff, and it's going to reduce costs immensely. I got to tell you, that is not showing up in the contracts yet. The things we are seeing, we are fighting right now to watch every time a new rate structure is submitted across any one of our programs to see that those costs did not go up, not go down. So this is one thing that's very important to me. When these costs roughly account for about 30 to 60% of the cost of a program, if we can't drive cost out of the program due to the basic, the overheads, the rates, the factors, the loads that come on top of the program, then we're never going to be able to get your cost down so we can increase the profit.
So, Davis says the Air Force is examining new ways to reimburse companies' costs in acquisition programs.
There's a very interesting phenomenon that happened in a lot of our programs across the department right now where it becomes we will approach a contract in two ways. We can sign the contract at the cost that the industry or the company is submitting, but if we're going to do it at their cost, we're going to do it at our profit, which you can imagine is going to be lower than you'd expect. What we'd like to do, and what I've seen happen in at least one case, is where we awarded the contract not at the proposed cost, but we awarded at the cost that the government estimated it would occur at, but we awarded it the industry profit that they were asking for with that. In other words, so if the costs are down, the profit's up. And that's becoming a very interesting, if you will, approach that I've seen happen on at least three major programs just within the last year.
In Tyson's Corner, Virginia, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.